Beyonce. Catchy tune, but those lyrics. If you like it, you should have put a ring on it. What is Beyonce telling girls about their role in relationships? In fact, do people take teenage relationships seriously enough? That first crush, that first rejection, that first heartbreak? My guests this morning certainly do. Danielle Miller is co-founder and CEO of Enlighten Education and works with something like 20,000 girls a year in schools across Australia and New Zealand and beyond. Nina Fennell is well known to Life Matters listeners. She's a writer and an advocate for young women, particularly around issues of violence and consent. And they've teamed up to write for girls a book called Lovability, an empowered girl's guide to dating and relationships, and they join me this morning. Welcome to Life Matters.
Thanks for having us.
I mean, this is intensely personal because, of course, you were both girls.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the way to connect this sort of information to young women is through giving personal anecdotes and sharing those personal stories, because the last thing they want is a boring lecture or to be patronised. They want to know that we've been there, done that. And Nina and I don't consider ourselves experts in terms of the fact that we think we're perfect at all of this, but we do think that we've been pretty adventurous travellers. And by sharing our own stories and the stories of the many other women that we were able to interview and the many other young girls who were kind enough to share with us, we think we've put together something really accessible and incredibly practical and warm.
Yeah, their stories are fantastic. The stories of girls, the testimonies are fantastic. Nina, why did you see the need for this book, a guide to dating and relationships for girls?
Yeah, I guess one of the reasons that Danny and I decided to write this book is because teenagers spend so much time talking about relationships, thinking about relationships, and actually being in relationships. And we also know that young people's first experiences of relationships, of crushes, of heartbreak, their first experiences around sex, as well as their first experiences around, you know, dealing with their friends and how their friends go about all that stuff, are really, really pivotal experiences. And they absolutely lay the foundations for later relationships that they'll have in life.
Yeah. Now, they're often, these early relationships are often played out very publicly, aren't they? Amongst their peers, in the classroom, on Facebook. Everyone knows about it. Everyone knows what's going on when you're dumped.
Absolutely. And the other thing about young people, of course, is that they negotiate their value systems around relationships within their peer groups. And so it's extraordinarily public, and these relationships really are very, very important. Now, despite that, when you look at the sex education that is afforded to young people, it tends to focus on the biology, the, you know, how to label the fallopian tube or whatever it might be. And that's all important information, but that's not going to help you out on a Saturday night, you know, at a house party where there might have been a bit of drinking involved, and now you're trying to work out, does this person like me? Do they want to do something with me? If so, what are the consent issues?
Do I want to do something with them?
Absolutely. Yeah. And so, you know, we actually thought it's not enough, it's not sufficient just to give young people sex education. They really need relationship education as well.
And that, I've got to say, I mean, you say that, but young people say that too. I know from sex ed workshops I've done, you know, young people going, we get all the mechanics, the nuts and bolts. What we want to talk about is intimacy. Mm. Well, Danielle, this idea that people don't take those young relationships and rejections and breakups and heartbreaks seriously. That's something you felt very personally, didn't you? Because when you were 16, out of a long-term relationship.
I did. I had been with my partner for 18 months and I was so in love with him. And I remember thinking at the time that, you know, a crush, the word crush, you know, it doesn't really describe for me infatuation, because that's all more like butterflies. Crushed was being devastated by the blow of this man who I had, you know, really connected myself to so strongly, telling me that he didn't love me anymore. And although I would sort of say to my parents and my teachers, look, I'm really not coping, I was often told, look, don't be silly, you know, you'll meet plenty of other people, you're only young, it's just puppy love. And they didn't take my heartbreak seriously, and I didn't really have any skills to know how to move beyond that. And although, of course, it's true that I did go on to find other loves, I still think, you know, even as a 44-year-old woman, that heartbreak was probably the most difficult to move past simply because I had no experience that it might pass. I hadn't yet lived enough to have developed any strategies of my own. And so Nina and I also thought, how wonderful to provide young girls in particular with a handbook that can give them real strategies and real tools that they can use so that we're not just dismissing their concerns as being trivial, because they aren't. And I know as a teacher, I worked in classrooms for 10 years. You know, if a student was experiencing a tumultuous relationship or was involved perhaps even an infatuation, that was absolutely distracting. You know, there's no way that they could focus on their studies. It was really important to them that those sort of core beliefs that they were struggling with were dealt with first.
So, I mean, there are all sorts of stereotypes around what sort of role you should play as a girl in a relationship, aren't there, Nina? I mean, you know, and there's a chapter in this called Players, Studs and Stereotypes. And, I mean, one of the tensions is that girls are kind of meant to play act being kind of helpless and kind of downplay their smarts.
Oh, I remember being told, you know, to, you know, don't act too keen, downplay your smarts, you don't want to scare them off. There are all these rules that we...
Don't be too sexy, but you've got to be sexy.
Yeah, you know, that impossibly fine line that the girls are expected to walk. And I think it's a real challenge for girls where they're trying to navigate this thicket of mixed cultural messages that they're given about what a proper relationship is meant to look like and what their role, and particularly their gendered role within that relationship, is meant to be. And so, you know, we spend a lot of time in the book deconstructing those various myths and stereotypes. You know, the gender stereotypes around, you know, the Cinderella sort of princess stereotypes, but also how those stereotypes impact on boys as well, and how
huge boys feel a great deal of pressure.
One of the things that Nina and I first did was going to a bookshop and have a look at what books were out there for teens. And it was interesting to us that there weren't any specifically aimed at adolescents. But if you looked at the relationship books aimed at women, they were often about marriage. They were often about how to get him to put a ring on it, really. And yet the books for boys weren't about relationships so much as they were about picking up, about getting sex. And so there's this basic assumption that girls want to marry even if he seems unwilling, and that boys should want sex even if she seems unwilling. And we both sort of sat there thinking, surely this is damaging for both genders. And we really need to do better in terms of allowing girls and boys to have a strong sense of their own values and beliefs, not just looking at how they can change for someone else, but what is it that we fundamentally believe in, that we want? What are our deal breakers? What are our relationship rules? And interestingly, it's only by discovering more about ourselves that we can really attract the right partner that will suit us. We don't need to find out more about them.
This is where the lovability myth enters the story.
Yeah.
You write about this, Danielle. What is it? What are you trying to explain to girls or to connect with girls about here?
Well, look, when I talk to young women in schools, it's very obvious that they have been, you know, I mean, there's a war being waged on women in terms of body image and self-esteem. We're told that the only way that we can be beautiful is if we fit an incredibly thin ideal. And it is thin, and it is pretty, and it is hot. And so girls also get messages very much that their lovability is defined by that look, that they'll only be able to have a successful relationship if they're a size 8 or if they are, you know, blonde and blue-eyed or if they are photoshopped perfection, that it's only through achieving that look that they'll get their happy ever after. And we were really keen to unpack for girls that what makes us lovable isn't that at all, that you can't measure your lovability on a set of scales or in a bathroom mirror, that in fact what makes us lovable are things like our sense of self and our sense of humour and our ability to connect with other people. So when we give girls practical skills around dating, we're not talking to them so much about dumbing themselves down or about going on diets or about whether they should be wearing, you know, autumn colours or spring colours or any of that other nonsense that they get presented with. We're talking to them basically about great communication skills, about learning more about their own values. And that's great because that's going to hold them in great stead for life in all of their relationships.
Get to know yourself and then you can get to know someone else. Nina Fennell and Danielle Miller are joining me this morning. They have collaborated on a book, An Empowered Girl's Guide to Dating and Relationships. This is for girls, the girls in your life. It's called Lovability. I mean, Nina, stereotypes are one thing. And in fact, though, when you actually talk to what boys and girls are attracted to or kind of want to spend time, the sorts of people they want to spend time with and hang out with. It flies in the face of those stereotypes.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's some very interesting research coming out that's now showing, you know, research done with young boys in particular, where they've actually asked and probed and, you know, asked that question of what is it that you actually want in a partner? And interestingly, what boys say that they want is remarkably similar to what girls want. They want companionship. They want a good sense of connection. They want someone who supports them. I mean, these are very similar aims and objectives to what girls would state as well. So those stereotypes that boys are, you know, the bachelors and the studs and the players and the stereotypes, and that they actually want to exploit girls, that's actually a really, really problematic and baseless, in many cases, stereotype.
Despite the messages they're getting,
in, like,
you look at all the pop videos and the lyrics of the songs, although One Direction seems to all be about the boys having a lot of heartbreak, but, you know, I mean,
bless them.
They're getting a lot of mixed messages there, which are contrary to what they might actually intuitively want.
Yeah, so, I mean, one of the things that we felt was really important is that it's not simply about equipping young people with relationship skills. One of the things that I think that we need to equip young people with is critical literacy skills to actually deconstruct the media around them and to actually examine what are the messages that we receive, not just about relationships, but also about gender. And I think that that's actually a really pivotal starting point for having conversations, you know, with young people in this
one
space.
One of the really classic examples of that, Nina and I analysed the sorts of aftershaves and perfumes and body mists that are marketed to teen girls versus teen boys. Now, you know, the same company, Unilever, has their impulse range for girls, and it's all spring fling, romance, you know, love and hearts. And then you look at the Lynx range, and it's all things like, you know, what were some of the terms that they had? It was like sort of score. It was all very...
Accelerate.
Yeah, it was all very fast, furious, you know, frenzied action where the girls were caught up in love, hearts, flowers and romantic, you know, dreams. And think this is what they are presented with, is what is expected to be the norm. And for either gender, it may well not be. And it's good for them to know that they do not have to fit into that particular mould.
They are spraying it on thick and fast too. I can feel the clouds of odour rise up above the studio. Nina Fennell, I mean, and we should just say there's not a lot of proselytising in this book. You're writing in a language that embraces where the readers will be at, right there. You know, you're right there with them. And this is also about having fun. I mean, you want to have fun in relationships. It's not all earnest, serious stuff. No. This is about love. But you're very concerned with consent and this whole idea of, well, no means no, but that seems to be a very simplistic, categorical kind of take on what is a very complex exchange for people in their own heads, often as much as between each other.
Absolutely. And I think it's important to keep the statistics in mind, because what we know is that of girls aged 12 to 20, 1 in 7 girls has experienced sexual assault, and of girls aged 12 to 20, 1 in 3 have experienced physical violence within an intimate relationship.
Girls.
So that's huge. And we know that young girls in that age group experience higher rates of sexual assault than any other demographic. And one of the many reasons around that, I mean, we could talk a lot about, you know, the issues around power and control and so on, which are really important, but also the issue around entitlement. But then within that, we have the issue of consent.
And how to negotiate it, because it's not just one point in time, it's a kind of continuous process, isn't it?
Absolutely. So, I mean, one of the things that we really explored was that consent has to be given freely without any pressure, force or coercion, that silence is not consent, that a person has the right to withdraw consent at any point in time and that it's up to the other person to respect that, but also that consent is a fluid thing. You know, it's not just a one-off yes or no at the beginning of an evening, or it's actually something that's continuously negotiated throughout, you know, the next 5 minutes or...
It's hard for grown-ups to do that too. Yeah. And I just want to touch on the whole silent treatment and sulking dynamic that can get set up in all relationships, but particularly young relationships as well, because sometimes that's a way of really a kind of, it's a power play, and it can work both ways, can't it?
And that's one of the things that I love. I mean, Nina has this incredible sort of academic background and understanding of these issues, yet in our book we were able to articulate all of this in a way that's really accessible to teenagers. So although Nina's just sort of giving us some pretty alarming facts about, you know, consent and sexual assault and violence, we were able to take it back a step further even and talk about how do you even set boundaries in terms of how often someone's allowed to ring you or whether they're Facebook, you know, on Facebook too much with you. And really the whole idea of setting boundaries and exploring consent can start fundamentally early with those simple steps that you take, which gives you more and more experience and confidence in setting limits and setting boundaries. And the whole silence thing, I think, often comes from not really knowing how to articulate when your boundaries are being crossed. So we actually love giving girls almost dialogue scripts, these things you can say. This is how you can get that message across if you think that you need to.
Give us examples, because the boundary thing is a crucial one. And you talk about setting boundaries in terms of your time, your property, your money, your privacy, your emotions, your physical boundaries. This is a whole range of different possibilities.
And these are such crucial skills, but in life we rarely get taught this explicitly, do we? Certainly not at school, because there's such a crowded curriculum now and there's so many external examinations. So we just love giving girls communication skills. And even when I work with girls in schools, they sit there sort of wide-eyed. I mean, simple things like, number one, plan what you want to say. Actually think about what you do, what sort of rules you would like to set or what sort of things you think are important to express. You know, number two, use I words, I feel, I am, I'm concerned, rather than you are, you know, you're always doing this to me or you're blaming me. Simple things like that can make a huge difference. Be specific. Tell them exactly what it is that you're not happy about and then negotiate a solution. So it might be if you feel that your boyfriend's constantly ringing you and he's pushing your boundaries and that's upsetting you, rather than stay silent or just breaking up with him, you know, you might say to him, look, I'm feeling that I don't have much time at home and I'm feeling that my studies are slipping. I'd really love it if we could agree that maybe you can ring me between 8 and 9 when we've both done our work. Then we can look forward to that chat and you can move forward.
So giving them confidence to actually have these conversations. I want to try and squeeze in two things because we've only got a little while left, and that is heartbreak, but also being single, because I think that was one of your favourite chapters, but I'll come to that. The kind of heartbreak, Nina Fennell, heartbreak and rejection, that's a big one, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, I think for young people, dealing with that first crush, that first rejection, is so powerful. And yet, you know, it's interesting. We don't always give young people scripts or information on how do you break up with someone. I mean, it seems so simple, but it's a really core skill to develop for future relationships.
Don't you just break
well.
That by a text message?
Well, actually,
you just change it from
big issue, isn't it?
Or you tell their best friend to pass on the information. No,
well, obviously, what happens.
Well, it does, but learning, you know, learning to think about different things, you know, whether it's even things like you know, what happens with gifts that you've given each other, do you keep them, do you give them back, you know, all of that sort of stuff. There's so many facets to it.
Absolutely. And I mean, you talk about a grief cycle, and that's a really validating section, because that's saying this is what it feels like.
Yeah, that's right, that we do move through, you know, acceptance, denial, finally to sort of forgiveness. And it's really important to know this because it's going to build resilience for life. So that chapter to me is not one that's just going to help girls deal with breakups. It's one that's going to help girls deal with any major trauma that they might experience. And again, it's something we rarely explicitly teach, and we really need to.
Yes, rejection, it happens in all sorts of guises.
Yeah.
Now, I do want to try and squeeze in the chapter on being single, because what you present here is this fantastic historical story about how single women and girls have been chastised and
stigmatised, the crazy cat ladies. It was really fascinating. I mean, I'm single at the moment, and it is interesting that there's almost this society expectation then that you'd be desperate and unhappy and miserable and lonely, and that's certainly not the case. And we spoke to so many teen girls and women who are choosing to be single for various reasons, could be that they're studying or whatever it is they're doing, and it can be a really joyful, happy time in your life. But again, you need some skills to know how to make sense of that, and you also need to unpack that negative vibe that will surround you. And it is based historically on things like, you know, the witch hunts, where single women were very much at risk of being accused of witchcraft and were burnt, often with their cats, the witch's familiar, hence the crazy cat lady. Then we looked historically at women in the Victorian era who, you know, could be accused of being hysterical if they questioned the system, and could certainly be locked up in asylums. And really the whole idea of marriage was originally around property, and it was originally a financial transaction rather than a love relationship. So I think for girls to have a perspective on it is really critical, as well as giving them some really fun ideas of alternative things they can do on Valentine's Day rather than sit at home and cry.
And I also think unpacking with girls why it is that girls are often characterised, girls who are single are often characterised as desperate and dateless, whereas yeah. boys who are single are often characterised as bachelors.
Having a great time.
And what's, you know, what double standard is there around that, and why has that historically and culturally evolved? And I found it really fascinating to kind of look at the historical perspectives around
Stigma
around being a single woman.
It's a fantastic chapter, actually, to round off this book with, and this is very practical. It's one to buy your girl, the girls in your life, I think, just leave it on their bedside, perhaps, rather than announce you're handing it to them. It's terrific. Well done. Thank you.
Pleasure. It was great. It was wonderful to be here.
Danielle Miller is co-founder and CEO of Enlighten Education, and Nina Fennell, a writer and advocate for young women. Their book, Lovability, An Empowered Girl's Guide to Dating and Relationships, is out through HarperCollins. Details on the Life Matters website. Embrace your inner cat lady, folks.